Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.
B-Pod Studios.
You like a little show, man? A little show? A little lady show? That'd be nice, wouldn't it? Oh, check this one out.
Christian Arcand!
Hour number three here, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Christian Arcand in for Jim Murray. Got Leroy Irvin there in for Chris Gasper, who would normally be in today, but they're both taking the day off. Both of them are. How about that?
Rona?
I don't think so. I don't think it's the Rona. I don't know what it is. I know that Gasper, not last week, but the week before, didn't do the pregame show. So Murray had to do the pregame show, and I ended up on the postgame show. Should have got a night off, but I ended up doing the postgame show. And then I think he was going to do the pregame show last week, but then they postponed the game to this week. So maybe it's just he didn't want to work 7 days a week, something like that. I don't blame him for that.
Yeah, not at all.
Working 7 days a week is never fun. But either way, both of those guys out today. You got myself. You got Leroy Irvin. If you don't recognize the voice, that means you haven't been listening to 96.9 Morning Show much lately. How's things going in the morning over there? Because you know me, I'm a vampire. When it comes to the morning, like, I don't even know what the morning is.
Yeah,
you texted me this morning at like 7 a.m.
Yep.
And it freaked me out. My phone having my getting a notification at that time. I like jumped out of bed. I was like, what happened? What's going on? It was just you texting.
Yeah, everybody, yeah. We're all good over there. I'm still tired. Mm-hmm. And so what happened was last night I went to bed early, and that's why I got up early.
Right.
So, I mean, it is what it is. I'm personally never going to get used to getting up at 3:30 in the morning and trying to be here at 4:30. Notice I said trying to be here at 4:30. But early is early, and it's just that part of the gig is just not fun.
So sleeping until like 7 is a luxury day for you.
Oh, yeah, man. That's like heaven. That's heaven on earth.
Day at the spa. Yeah. Getting up at 7?
Yeah, man. Is that what time I sent the text?
Rooster crows or whatever. Yeah, it was around 7 a.m.
Oh, my bad.
I was not. No, it's okay. I wasn't awake. I didn't see it until like 10. So I was like, oh, hey, Leroy. They needed to tell me something 3 hours ago. It's great. I don't know. But, 617-779-0985. We'll keep things sort of open here because I feel like we're going to get the news that the Broncos took off. We did just get a little bit of breaking news here. It is, unfortunately, COVID related, and I really, really am hoping that for the third straight weekend, I'm not going to have to sit here and announce that this game has been postponed again. I don't know if I can handle having to do that again. It really does start to feel like Groundhog Day.
Yep.
You know, it really does. It's been Sunday the other 2 weeks, but I come in here. Either the fantasy football show was just on, or in this case, Joe Murray and Billy Lanny. Talking about their favorite butt rock song, which was tremendous, by the way.
Right.
That is a good program. The Billy Lanny, Joe Murray show. I could listen to that all day. Anyways, you know, whatever it is. And then I have to come in and break everyone's heart and tell them all, oh, hey, sorry, guys. They just announced that the game's being postponed. Haven't had to do that yet today, but we did just get this right here through the Twitter machine, which is a statement from the Denver Broncos that their running backs coach has tested positive for COVID-19. Also, one coaching intern who I believe they're related, Curtis and Jet Modkins. Neither one of them are traveling due to potential high-risk close contact. And for Curtis Modkins, because he actually tested positive, he's at home self-isolation, no symptoms. They've evaluated everything and decided that they're going to go ahead with the game, even though, you know, he's the running backs coach, which means,
I know.
What's up with the running backs? All good? Like, Melvin Gordon clearly isn't. Melvin Gordon's not making the trip. He has an illness. Okay. Mm. I mean, I know he just got a DUI, but he's got this illness now, and the running backs coach has COVID, and what? I mean, like, are we supposed to put all these pieces together ourselves, or can we get a little bit more information, Denver? Like, this is another part of it that I don't like. No one wants to be totally transparent.
Yep.
You know, they're kind of drips and drabs out here. We don't even know for sure that James Ferentz is the guy who tested positive on the Patriots. The Patriots never said that.
Right.
We know that he would put on the COVID list, and we know that someone tested positive, but there was talk yesterday that there were two positive tests, and they were waiting on confirmation for the other one. So it may have been Ferentz, it may have been somebody else. All we know is that Ferentz went on the list, which is for people who either test positive or who are around someone who tested positive. So we don't know anything. Like, that's why this is annoying. Like, can you tell us? Can we be upfront with each other here?
Well,
we're still the paying customers. Like, what's going on?
I hear you, but I've always been surprised that we did find out names, because remember when this all started, they said that we wouldn't find out. It was like part of the agreement that putting the names out there of those who actually have tested positive was a no-no. And then all of a sudden,
HIPAA violation?
Yeah. And then now we've just been getting it left and right. So then when we don't, it's like, what's the deal? Again, it's another example of NFL. What are you doing? Mm. You're saying one thing, something else happens, and then, you know, it's just different situations. We get different things. There's chaos. I'm sorry, folks. There is chaos. I know we all love our football on Sundays, and we want to keep it that way. We like the tradition. We like to have an escape from all the craziness that's going on in the world. But when you really stop and look at it, the NFL is not doing a good job.
No. You know, they're really not. And I think they're trying to get everything, you know, up and running and going and played and done with. And that's been their MO this entire time.
Mm.
You know, their MO was never, we'll wait and see. We'll be careful. We'll do this. We'll do that. It's, we are going to play. We are going to kick off on this date. We are going to have the Super Bowl on this date, and we are going to have a regular schedule. We're going to have fans in the stand. They were saying that.
Yeah.
They're saying that all offseason. We're going to have fans in the stands. And in some places, I guess you can, but that wasn't why the NFL was like, no, we're going to have it exactly the same. The only thing different is we're going to have the draft via Zoom.
Yep.
Everything else is going to be exactly the same.
Yep.
And it hasn't been. I mean, obviously, it hasn't been. There was no preseason, which I think has led to a lot more injuries than there probably would have been otherwise. You have these expanded rosters. You're getting positive tests all around the league. You've had to change all these games and revamp the whole schedule. Like, it's not the same. And the NFL needs to face that. They need to face reality.
There's some arrogance there, for sure. And, I mean, we've seen it before, anything having to do with COVID. Just in general, you can tell they know they're the top dog here in America, and there's some arrogance to them.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I'm not shocked, but you would hope, especially because this has to do with, you know, the lives of people and their families,
right,
that there would be some sense of humility and the appearance of, you know what, let's try to correct this thing as soon as possible.
Yeah.
But nothing.
They'd have to stop everything. They would have to.
And what's wrong with that?
Well, the schedule, I mean, the way things have sort of already been bought and paid for, I think, would make that difficult. I don't know the exact specifics, but I feel like once you've committed to your schedule and you've sort of set in your bye weeks, one thing I think would have made a lot of sense in hindsight, add in 3 or 4 more bye weeks. Just extend the season and say, all right, we're going to build in some bye weeks to every team's schedule just in case they need to use them, just in case there's a problem. And we'll have that this week. We'll have one this week. We'll have it at the end of the year, and we'll push the Super Bowl back to the end of February instead of the beginning. That way we'll have, you know, just a little bit of insurance here in case things go sideways. And they didn't. They have the same schedule that they had before. I mean, they've added some more playoff. That was the one big change they made, is that was an extra playoff team's going to make it. But other than that, I mean, the calendar's almost exactly the same. They didn't really do anything there to ensure, you know, just a couple of bonus weeks in there in case we need to fall back on them. And if we don't, we'll bump the Super Bowl back up to where it was supposed to be or something. But no, I mean, it wasn't even close. And I understand, it's the Super Bowl. You got to buy out all that ad space,
right,
and it's expensive, and it's a whole thing, and fine. Although, it is going to be a coronavirus Super Bowl, so I don't think you're going to have, like, Radio Row bumping down there in New Orleans or wherever it is. It's probably going to be pretty weird, honestly. I mean, the Super Bowl is going to be weird as hell this year.
Imagine being Kansas City and Green Bay and Mahomes comes down with it in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Jeez, man.
Kansas City's, like, a huge hotspot right now. Kansas City, the coronavirus in Kansas City is not good. It is a bad situation, and I don't want to make this whole show about COVID in this country, how bad things are starting to get worse now, but it's happening. I mean, it's happening all over the place, and that, if you're not in a bubble, I don't see how you avoid stuff like this happening. Mm. We'll see what happens. I mean, obviously the Broncos are planning on coming. I think we all understand that, and a Broncos statement I think confirms it. That running backs coach isn't making the trip. but the trip's being made. The Broncos are coming here. Them with whoever, who knows who's infected on that team over here in New England with who knows who's infected on this team. This could be the COVID bowl this
right.
week. You know, at least with the Titans and the Bills, there was no Bills who tested positive.
Right.
They're
right.
all just worried about the Titans. Now you got the Broncos and the Patriots. You got two teams playing, one guy with a coach, a position coach who just tested positive. And over here on the Patriots, we don't even know what's going on. James Ferentz might have it. He might not. Illuminor was out on Wednesday. We don't know anything. All we know is that they're going to play tomorrow, and God help them all. 617-779-0985 is the phone number. Yes, Leroy?
Oh, just real quick. It kind of I never understood why the Broncos were so upset with the Patriots or feeling like things were unfair because at the end of the day, you're not in control. I mean, you are to some degree, but you really are not in control if someone gets it or not. You know what I mean? You can try all you want, and sometimes someone's going to get it. And at the time, it was just the Patriots that had it, and they're all upset about it and thinking it's a, you know, advantage for the Patriots to keep postponing. Now somebody from the Broncos got it.
Yeah.
So now what? Should Patriot fans and players be upset with the Broncos if for some reason this game gets postponed again? Or it's just like, man, it's craziness going on.
Yeah, it is. I don't think the game's going to get postponed, but if it had, I bet you Patriots fans would be saying that same stuff that, you know, I'm sure they're saying in Denver. 617-779-0985 is the phone number. To your phones right after this.
Gasper and Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.
This is Bob Soucy. The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon. As a runner myself representing the Flutie Foundation at the 2022 Boston Marathon, I'm proud to have been a teammate to many amazing Adaptive Program runners, achieving their dreams at the greatest race in the world. The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit Flutie Foundation. Foundation.org to get involved.
This is Gasper and Murray on 98.5 Sports Hub.
.21 here on the Sports Hub. Arcan and Irvin in for Gasper and Murray today. Taking you up until 2:30. Then it's Notre Dame Louisville here on these airwaves. Later on tonight, I believe we're carrying the Alabama Georgia game, which some breaking news here in the last few minutes. Nick Saban has been cleared to coach. He has been cleared to coach in tonight's game, Alabama and Georgia, following a third negative COVID-19 test. So he tested positive. Was it Thursday? Was it Thursday or Wednesday? I don't even remember.
This week,
COVID tests. It's right? Unbelievable. Hold on a second. I'll tell you right now. Sources told ESPN that Saban was informed he had been cleared to return a little before 12:30 p.m. Eastern time, and he immediately left his home with a state trooper. He left his home with a state trooper, really?
God.
He had a police escort to go straight to the team hotel, was able to join meetings prior to 1 p.m. Did they really need to get him to a meeting? Like, okay, to the game, I get that. They got a police escort to get him to the meeting. I get, you know what? It just sort of hit me right now. No. I bet you they gave Saban the same stuff they gave Trump.
Oh.
I bet you he got the same, those same steroids, those same experimental treatments. He is as important, he's more important to Alabama.
Oh, yeah.
Than Trump is to the United States.
Well, it would kind of be like.
It's true.
It would kind of be like if Brady was still here, yeah. I think he would get an escort.
To a meeting?
Yeah, well,
maybe to a game.
Let's say he was in the hospital.
Yeah.
Brady was in the hospital and then he was cleared and he needed to be at him. He would get a police escort. Shoot, the team got an escort to the airport. Remember
that's
that?
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
And down there in the South, man, the college COVID basketball plan. is life.
That's true.
So, yeah, he's like a, you know, he's like a god down there.
I know. Alabama team physician, Dr. Jimmy Robinson, said in a statement that Saban had a negative polymerase chain reaction test, whatever that is, right. PCR test at 7 a.m. Thursday, Friday and Saturday following the initial positive test on Wednesday. Okay, so it was Wednesday. The school added two additional PCR tests from Thursday and Friday were taken out of an abundance of caution. Sounds like they were really scraping his brain there. Have you had one of these things?
Yes, I have.
And how was it?
It's not as painful as some people may make it seem. Mm-hmm. A tear did build in my eye like I was Ric Flair.
Really?
And yeah, with a tear in my eye. And it was uncomfortable. But I mean,
how long were they in there?
Oh, it doesn't take long.
No?
It's not long.
It's like
at
a strep
all.
Test, but in your face?
Yeah, I would say they was digging in there for about a good 10 to 15 seconds, okay. If that. And it's more of that 10 to 15 seconds was spent telling you to prepare yourself. It's going to, you know, tickle a little bit type
thing. I wonder if they ever, like, go in there and they pull the thing out and like, oh, no, didn't get it. Got to go back in.
Oh, yeah, guaranteed.
Like when you check your oil and you realize you need oil and there's nothing there, you're like, let me go in again.
Yeah. Now, Christian, I'm going to say this. And sometimes when I go home, I get on YouTube and I go into these rabbit holes about conspiracies.
Sure.
I'm starting to believe, I'm this close to believing that some of these test results people are being pressured into making them positive.
Pressure by who?
By athletic directors and things like that. Like,
why would an athletic director want a positive test?
No, I'm saying to make it negative, my fault.
Oh, okay.
So from going from positive to negative,
I see.
It's just, this stuff is just happening a little bit too often. I thought we were supposed to stay
false positives, you mean?
Yes, false positives.
Yeah. There's been a lot of regular positives. I mean, a lot of teams, a lot of college campuses, they're seeing this. I mean,
something just doesn't sit right with me about this.
Saban, I mean, with Saban, he's going to get the Trump treatment. He's going to get the special steroids.
Right.
He's going to be dancing up the stairs, you know, like, ready to go. I thought they'd put him up in like the Paterno booth, you know. Remember Paterno at the end of Penn State was like up in the rafters because he couldn't stand on the field anymore. I thought maybe they'd do that. But no, Saban's going to be down there. He's going to be down there, you know, talking to everybody, getting right up in their face, probably wearing a mask. Maybe. I don't know. It's Alabama. Who the hell knows? Let's see. Robinson. Who is Dr. Jimmy Robinson, the physician, said, due to the fact that Coach Saban has remained completely symptom-free and had five negative tests split between two separate labs, the initial test from Wednesday is considered false positive. In accordance to the SEC Return to Activity and Medical Guidance Task Force, and with the approval of the Alabama System Health and Safety Task Force, Coach Saban is medically cleared to safely return, effective immediately. Now, I believe him. Mm-hmm. Because Nick Saban missing a game or not being on the sideline to coach the game, if they put him up in a booth or something like that, up in a luxury box, and I'm coach the game up there, that wouldn't be that big of a story as if, say, I don't even know who's good on Alabama this year, but like Alabama's quarterback doesn't play or their star running back or something like that. Mm-hmm. If one of those guys, that would be a bigger deal than Saban, because Saban's just the coach. You can isolate him. You can, you know, have somebody else coach that day. He's obviously a big name, but it's not going to affect the play on the field. Mm. You know, like that. Okay. I think there's a difference there. When you're talking about players and like, okay, you got to pull this guy off the field. This guy can't play. This guy can't play. Someone else can step up and coach. You run out of players, then all of a sudden you're talking about, okay, well, what are we doing here? You know, that to me seems a little bit different. But sounds like this was a false positive. Again, I don't know if they're all sending them to that same lab in New Jersey that the NFL was doing in the first week when they had like 75 false positives.
Right.
That was ridiculous. And it seems like, you know, we're getting a few more. The Colts just had one.
Yep.
They had a false positive. The Jaguars, I don't know. We'll see what goes on with them, if that's, you know, legit or not. But, man, you know, for a league that said all along, yeah, we're expecting there's going to be some positive tests. We're expecting that. That's part of this. We know there's going to be some positives. False positives, three or four on the Patriots, mm-hmm. one team with 11 positive, and I understand, but it's just one team in the Titans. And all of a sudden, everything's just floating around. Like, we don't know what's going on.
Right.
Anymore.
Every time your phone goes off, you're almost expecting to see a breaking news story about COVID.
Yeah.
Not good.
I'm expecting to report an awful breaking news. You know what I mean?
That's crazy.
It was one thing during those 4 or 5 months when there was no sports before the NHL and the NBA came back.
Yeah.
There was never any good news to report. True. You know?
True. Yeah.
Yeah, well, looks like they're going to have to push this back. Oh, they're pushing back the Kentucky Derby. They're pushing back this. They're pushing back the Cambridge Regatta. They're doing all this stuff. And it's just like every single day, that's all you did. You'd come in and you'd give people bad news. Something they wanted to go attend or watch or whatever was canceled or postponed or something. And it just, ugh. After a while, it starts to get old, you know? Like, it's one thing to be living through. It's another thing to have to tell everybody about it every day.
Be the guy, yep.
Yeah. Ugh. Anyway, 617-779-0985 is the phone number. We spent a lot of time here on the NFL, on the Patriots. Let's talk a little actual football, because I do think they're going to play this game tomorrow. We saw the Patriots and the Kansas City Chiefs without Cam Newton. Newton's going to be back in this game. He's going to play after having had COVID for however long. Never seemed like he had any symptoms. Never seemed like he was really even all that, you know, sick. I'm pretty interested in seeing how a guy who had COVID looks playing football. I am. It's morbid curiosity, I guess. But him, Gilmore, I want to see what it looks like when a guy has COVID and then comes back and actually goes on the field and plays.
Right.
I think they should beat the Broncos because I don't think Denver's very good this year. But more than that, almost, I want to see what Cam looks like. I want to see if there's any side effects, if there's anything sort of keeping him away from being his normal Cam Newton self,
right?
Because he just had COVID and couldn't practice for 2 weeks.
Right. And I know this has nothing to do with the game, but I kind of smiled when they showed him at practice and he was that dancing, you know, having fun Cam Newton. I said, all right, that's sign number one that he's, you know, that's a good sign. But like you said, getting to the game, I really don't have any fears about the Broncos at all. I think the Patriots will be fine. But you just never know. You mentioned earlier about how some players are having heart issues. People who have, not just players, but people in general who have tested positive end up having heart issues later on. So, yeah, you got to look out for that, for fatigue and things of that nature. So we shall see. All I know is, for me personally, win or lose, and people might criticize me for this, I'm not devastated. I think because of the way things have been going, I don't have any stock. I'm this close to just being like, I'm over it all when it comes to sports and COVID. It's just like, it's all right. So if Cam doesn't perform well yesterday, guess what? He can fall back on the fact that he's been away from the game. You know what I mean? And saying, it's just like, it's.
Do you feel that way about the NBA and everything else? I mean,
definitely. Yeah. I was just like, whatever. Like, okay, congratulations to the Lakers, but, I mean, physically, everyone wasn't there, but then we're not even taking into consideration the emotional and mental part, you know?
You think that's why ratings were there?
Oh, I think that's
think
part of
feel
it.
The way you feel, like, you know.
I think that's part of it. Yeah. I think another reason why ratings were down, you and I, and most people who love sports, this was like a wet dream for us. I'm sorry, but it's the truth. You got the four majors playing at the same time.
Right.
But for the average person, for, you know, it was too much. How am I supposed to give my attention to four sports going on at the same time? We're not used to that. That's why, you know, football tends to come into play, you know, when it does, and baseball's going into the playoffs, and then when they're done, football's kind of revving up even more, things like that. Mm-hmm. I also think, for me, the social issues were not a big deal, as far as I was very much okay with seeing the NBA represent on the court and things of that nature when it comes to the social issues.
Right.
On the flip side, you have people, let's just be honest, who did not want that, and that turned them off. But I also think there's a third party in this, which is there are people who were absolutely for the conversation of social reform and social justice, but because of COVID, because of things that are going on in the world, they just like, I want a break. I really, truly just want a break. And they stepped away. And I mean, I don't agree with it, but that's where I think a lot of that happened. But for sure, I think people are just over it. Like, none of this counts really anyways.
Yeah. Stanley Cup playoffs were down 60%. NBA was down, I think, like 54% from last year.
Yep.
Baseball, I know they're the only sort of game in town right now in terms of postseason, but their ratings haven't been strong. The Kentucky Derby was way down, the Belmont State, like all the, and pretty much every sporting event, except ironically for the WNBA. WNBA was up like 15% from last year, which is interesting.
Okay.
That may have more to do with, you know, their small audience, but I think that, you know, it does tell you something. But here's what I think sort of blows up the idea that it was just, you know, it was just about the political messages in the NBA. The NBA is the most popular and should have done much better, and I think they dropped off the most. I'd agree with that. Because normally they pull in huge numbers in the playoffs. But, you know, so what, the NHL? They don't pull in huge numbers, but they were way down. They weren't making political statements. The NFL is making political statements. They have Black Lives Matter on the helmets and everything else.
Right.
And their numbers are great. So what is it? Was it the Kentucky Derby where the horse is taken in the, like, you know, like, what do you really think it was? Was it that these sports were being played at random times, basketball in August, and that, you know, people were just sort of a little put off by all that?
Right.
The NFL is going on schedule when it normally is, when people are used to watching it, and people are watching it. It's not that much more popular than the NBA. The NBA was doing pretty well until, you know, COVID happened. Their numbers were fine. And I don't know. I mean, I think that all in all, people's lives have been disrupted so much, and that all of this has been just so disruptive to them and to everything that we're used to, that, yeah, you know, you don't watch as much. You don't get in the casual fans because they're not used to watching it in August. And a lot of it has to do with casual fans being involved. What, 5-6 million people watching those finals games?
Right.
It's not a lot. I mean, that's not a big audience.
But do you
back in the 90s, you have like 30 million people.
I saw that. They were showing something with one of the Jordan Chicago Bulls finals, 26 point something million tuned in or whatever. But you say that, but a lot of people are at home. There's not much to do away from home. So I assumed that viewership would go up.
Yeah, I thought so too.
I don't understand what happened. I really don't. But I think the things that I mentioned, those three, four different things, I think they all have something to do with it. But most of all, it's just like you said, the timing is just, people aren't used to this. They're really not. It's just too much competition between all the leagues. And it's like, which one do I pay attention to?
Yeah, no, I'm with you there. 617-779-0985 is the phone number. We'll go to your phone calls right after this.
Gasper and Murray. On 98.5, The Sports.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Mike Palmer, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
You're listening to Gasper and Murray.
Fantastic chemistry.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
.140 here on The Sports Hub. A little bit of breaking news. We don't need the sounder, B-Rab. It's okay. Broncos-related breaking news, and yet we still don't need the sounder. The Broncos released Blake Bortles, who was their fourth quarterback, I think, right? Because it's Drew Locke, who I think is going to play tomorrow, is their starter. They got the Rippin' kid. They got Driscoll and Blake Bortles. So they had a lot of big crowded quarterback room, let's just put it that way. And it seems like Locke's back, and the Broncos have released Blake Bortles. I'm not kidding, Leroy, when I say I hope that Bill signs him. I'm not kidding. Because I think he's better than the two backups you have.
Yep.
And I know he's not good, and I think the last time he played a full season, he led the league in interceptions. And I'm not – listen, if Blake Bortles is your starting quarterback at any point this season, you're porked. But you're porked just as bad with Brian Hoyer and Jared Stidham. And Bortles at least had one good year where he had 35 touchdowns. You know, like, it was a long time ago, but he's at least done something in this league.
Do you think Hoyer is that bad?
At this point in his career, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, because
he's lost 11 straight games.
Yeah, you're right.
He's and he forgot. I mean, some of that stuff, you know, I can attribute to being rusty. You miss a throw here and there.
Yep.
You throw it in the dirt. You overthrow a guy, whatever. And he actually made a couple of nice throws. He hit Demir Byrd on a pass before that fumble that I thought was a real nice ball. But for him to get sacked and strip sacked in the red zone like that.
Unacceptable.
Not to mention that one play where he just ran out the clock and then tried to call a timeout with no time left when they didn't have any timeouts.
That's the same week
Tom Brady? Yeah.
Ooh, oh, yeah. That's yes, kind of spooky. It's October, people. Oogity boogity.
He really learned everything from Tom Brady. That was kind of sad, honestly. Tom Brady out there with the four up. Four?
Yeah.
Four, huh?
You know what people try to make excuses to say he knew what he was doing? Stop it. Don't, like, cut it out.
His coach Arians came out. He's like, oh, yeah, he knew how many downs there were.
Yeah, all right.
It's like, Bruce, you're not helping.
Right.
Just say he forgot. Don't say he knew and he still did that.
Right.
That makes it worse.
It makes it much worse.
Then it's like he has dementia or something like that, you know? Like, you don't want to put that out there.
All the time, catching
up. Yeah, you know, he's played a lot of games. He forgot. It happens. It happens to people. Sometimes it happened to Tom Brady before.
Yeah.
Forgot how many downs there were one time in a Dolphins game here. Regardless, I mean, that's not the end of the world. It's one thing for Tom Brady to do it. It's another thing for Brian Hoyer.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yep.
And, I mean, when Brian Hoyer is your backup and you have a guy like Cam Newton as your starter, you're going to have to anticipate that the backup's going to come in here and there. Not, you know, maybe not completely. And I know that COVID's sort of another thing throwing a wrench into all of this. Mm-hmm. I don't think that, you know, Cam Newton going into the year was an added COVID risk or anything, but he did get hurt and miss most of the last 2 years. So I was sort of always going along with this season with the idea that whatever happens, you're probably not going to have Cam Newton for all 16 games. And we've already seen that.
You
missed the Kansas City game. Maybe that'll be the only game he misses. I kind of doubt it, but I guess we'll see. We'll see if the season even finishes. Maybe it won't. But I do know that, you know, with you, with your particular situation here, one thing that I think people take the most for granted about Tom Brady in the last 20 years was how available he was.
He
never missed a game except for that one year one suspension for, you know, Deflategate. He never missed any time ever. He was there every single week. And Cam Newton for years in Carolina was just like that. He was until he started having health problems, and a big mobile quarterback, a big brute like that, who goes running head first into, you know, defensive tackles, they're going to have problems. It's going to happen. And he had it with his shoulder. He had it with his foot. He's had COVID. Like, there's reasons for me to think, anyway, that it's going to take an act of God for Cam Newton to play the whole year. and he's already missed a game, so he can't. But you know what I mean? That's sort of how I feel about it. I hope I'm wrong, but that's how I feel about it.
I hold my breath, too, when whenever he runs, he'll do a quarterback sneak or whatever. I'm like, oh, God. You know, like you said, he's already had a bunch of injuries. That's what kept him off a lot of teams. And thank God the Patriots did pick him up, and he's been performing well. But you just never know, especially with his style.
Yeah. Yeah, you really don't. 617-779-0985 is the phone number. We got a lot of people waiting patiently. Want to talk about the reason sports ratings are down.
Uh-oh.
So let's go to Dan in Billerica. Go ahead, Dan.
Hey, guys. Can you hear me okay? Or?
Yes, I can.
All right, I'll be super quick. My quick theory on the reason why the ratings are down is, I think, psychological because of everything that's happened with COVID. So I believe you guys mentioned that football is the only sport that right now hasn't really taken a hit, right?
Yeah.
So my thought is that because of everything that happened and the pause that all the other sports had to, you know, we had to endure, there's that psychological reasoning that, you know, okay, so it's kind of like if you drop your, you know, if you just go offline for a few days, you just get used to it, and then, you know, it becomes a normal to not have the sport be, something that you're used to on an everyday basis. So I think that the only thing that's been normal, quote unquote, even though obviously it's not, it has been football. And I think that's the reason why it's not really taking a hit compared to every other sport that, you know, everybody had to take a couple of months off.
Yeah, you're right. There was no interruption, Dan. Good call. And it's a good point. There was no interruption with football. The NFL went on as planned. They had free agency. It was a little bit different because they couldn't go do physicals and stuff for all the players, so it wasn't exactly the same. The draft was obviously different because they did it all virtually, but they had the draft and they had free agency. They didn't have the preseason. And that threw people off a little bit.
Yep.
You know, people, I certainly think the players were thrown off by it for sure. We didn't get to see Cam Newton in a single snap before game one of the regular season, which I think was pretty weird. But, you know, that was one difference. Other than that, it's basically been the same.
You know, it makes me wonder, do you think fantasy football is down?
I don't know. It's a good question.
Because of the uncertainty and all that stuff with players from week to week. You know, if I have Cam, I'm thinking, you know, he just, you know what I'm saying?
Daily fan, like DraftKings or like long,
all of that
full
stuff.
Season ones. Everything. With your friends and stuff.
Ones with your friends, DraftKings, all that. I wonder if that's down.
That's a good point.
And
that's
is the NFL,
question.
Is it, it's not taking a huge hit, but has it taken a hit?
Mm.
Any hit, maybe a little bit. But that stuff, yeah, that's interesting to me.
It is. And I know I don't know if the NFL's ratings are up or down from last year, but I do know that they're the number one show on TV week in and week out. That's not going anywhere. And the NBA, I mean, the NBA's ratings really went down. Mm. The NHL's too. 617-779-0985. More of your phones right after this.
Stay tuned for more Gasper and Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Eric Fishman, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
Woo! The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
This is Gasper and Murray.
You will listen.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Here on the Sports Hub, guy on Twitter's getting on my case saying the NHL made lots of political statements. They did a little bit around the Blake thing. You know, they had a couple of things. I think they canceled like one day of games. Mm-hmm. Teams issued statements. There was
in the very beginning, when they started.
With the when the Jacob Blake thing happened, but then you didn't hear much from them.
Yep, it faded away.
Yeah, you didn't hear much from the NHL. And you know, I think it was good what they did. I don't think it was bad or anything like that. But compared to the NBA, which was really the point I was making, the NBA, they had slogans on their jerseys every night and, you know, sort of everything else. And the NFL does, too. The NFL, they have slogans on their helmets. Right. Says Black Lives Matter on the field. And that doesn't seem to be affecting anything negatively. So I don't think that's the case. You know, people might say, I watch sports because I don't want to get political messages in my face all the time. Which, okay, great. But, you know, sometimes athletes want to make statements. And if you don't like it, I guess you don't have to watch. That's fine. But everybody's watching the NFL and they're making statements.
Right.
So what is it? Is it that or is it something different? I think it had something to do with people's routines being thrown off and with game, you know, seasons being interrupted and then played, NHL hockey being played in freaking August. That's weird. NBA basketball being played in August. It's not the summer league. That's weird. You know, people had a hard time adjusting to it. You haven't had to adjust to anything with the NFL.
Right.
You know, I think that's a big part of it. The NBA usually does big numbers.
You know what else? And I know this is probably on the very low end when it comes to the reasons why people didn't watch. Not having a crowd, for some reason, it's like, I don't think we appreciated how much having a crowd at a game contributes to the experience on television.
Mm.
I don't know. I mean, I know that's not a major, major factor at all. But I think it's somewhere in there because yeah. Lord knows I'm sitting there watching. I'm like, man, when they will show the entire stadium and there's no one in there, it just seems the fake crowd noise. But when you have a little bit, like, you know how some of the stadiums have a little bit, you know, you got some fans here,
right.
Some there.
A smattering of fans.
Yeah, it brings a smile to my face. I'm like, okay, I don't know if it's safe, but it does, you know, help the presentation of the games.
You know what I kind of liked the other night? It might be a sap. That's the reason why I liked it. That guy on the Braves, it wasn't Freddie Freeman. Some guy hit a home run, mm-hmm. and his wife and kid were right there, and they were like the only people in the stands. And he was waving to the kid as he's rounding the bait. Like that was cool. Kids waving
yeah,
back at him.
Nothing
like,
wrong with that.
I liked that. Yeah. I thought that was cool. You know what I mean? Like that was a cool
Why
one cool thing
a
to come out from
to
this.
Like that, man.
Because it's
like
kind of sappy. It's a so... sappy thing I just said, but it was cool. I liked it though.
Look,
I can admit when I'm being sappy
and embrace it.
Let's go to Joe in Worcester. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, thanks, guys. I cut the last segment about viewership being down, and you know I wanted to point out that viewership actually was up initially in the NBA until all of the protests occurred. But my
the
protests,
wait, the protests or the quarantine?
The protests.
Okay, because the protests were going on during the quarantine, and then they came back after that. I don't know what's going on there, but it sounded like the pandemic. You know, the pandemic's what really interrupted the season. What is going on back there?
Right around at that time, though, but my point is Adam Silver knows that they took it too far. It was thrown in everybody's face. Look, I'm not a political guy. I just want to watch my sports and move on the rest of my day. But Adam Silver and the league, they let these players do everything that they wanted. And then if you notice, towards the end of the bubble, they stopped showing the national anthem because they knew people were tuning out and nobody was watching. The NFL, they're a little smarter. Yeah, sure, they allow the slogans, they allow all that stuff, which is fine, but they don't throw it in the fans' face. And the NBA, led by the biggest baby on the planet, LeBron James, people just tune out. Nobody wants to watch this stuff anymore.
Okay, and Joe, wait a minute. Joe, you just said that the NFL allows slogans and they allow, you know, stuff on the field. How's that any – I got it. I can't with this anymore. I'm sorry. I don't know where he is. If he's landing planes at Logan Airport right. or what that was, I didn't want to hang up on him because I didn't like his take. I didn't like his take, but that's not why I hung up. I just couldn't with that sound anymore. I just don't understand how you can say that about the NBA and not the NFL. Mm. The NFL, they're writing Black Lives Matter on their helmets. They're writing it on the field. They're, I mean, kneeling for the national anthem. Like, they're doing the exact same thing, basically. It's not on the jerseys, I guess. That's one difference.
Right.
But pretty much they're doing the exact same stuff. There's slogans on the helmets. Tom Brady has an end racism slogan on his helmet. Mm. Hashtag Black Lives Matter on the field. Maybe it's superimposed for the TV broadcast, but it's there. They had it in Kansas City. They have it everywhere. You know, I mean, that to me is the same thing the NBA was doing.
It could be a situation where the NBA is pretty much the first and people don't like change. And they, you know, when something's new, they're not used to it. And they're like, I don't know about it. And then as the NFL comes behind the NBA and the NHL, people are a little bit more, I guess, maybe hopefully accepting of it.
Maybe.
I don't know.
It
I don't
could
know.
Be. I don't know. I have no idea. But, you know, if you think the NBA, the only reason it was down was because of that, the NHL did much, much less than the NBA did, and they were down more than the NBA
sure,
was.
Yeah, there's an argument for all
the Kentucky Derby and the Belmont Stakes, so I'm pretty sure those horses don't lean either way politically. They lean towards their oat bag. Trump, Biden, oat bag.
Right.
Oat bag 2020. That's what it says in all their stalls. Oh, and that's man. All they care about. So, I mean, you know, that is it that or is it something a little bit more deep than I think, you know, well, I don't like politics, so I'm not watching. People who are NBA fans and agree with their politics weren't watching.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
That's what you have to sort of keep in mind here. A lot of people agree with what the NBA is doing and with the statements that are being made. You might not, but a lot of people do. And even those people weren't watching. And it wasn't because of the slogans on the jerseys. It was something more than that. I think that's something people on the other side of this have to understand. It's not just about you. And maybe you stopped watching because of that. But I think a lot of people who disagree politically were still watching the NBA. You know, I don't think that really factored that much into it. I'm being honest here.
Just to switch it a little bit, but with the NBA Finals, Christian, do you think people are tired of LeBron?
Yeah, probably.
To the point where they won't watch?
I think they're tired of LeBron steamrolling everybody. If it was LeBron against the Warriors or against the team that, you know, really could test them, then I think that would have been more compelling. But everybody knew once that series started that the Heat were going to get rolled. I mean, yeah. we all knew that,
yep.
right?
Yep. Yep.
No one
yep.
really thought the Heat had a chance. I think that had something to do with the bad ratings, too. You know, when it's
but
not
even
a
before that,
series.
Ratings weren't great.
They were down. So, yeah, they weren't great. That's true. 617-779-0985. Damien's in Rhode Island. Hello, Damien.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? How are you?
All right.
Cool, man. Hey, I got a totally different take on this, and I think it's a good one. The reason why the ratings are down, it's a small, minute one with the Black Lives Matter and things like that, but I think they're down because streaming is up. A lot of people aren't getting cable anymore. They're streaming a lot of things. Sure. There's illegal streaming things you can get online for like $25, $50, and you get every channel and stuff. I think that's a big number of why things are down, man.
Yeah.
I don't know what you think.
Damien, I think that's true. Cord cutters, and we hadn't really talked about that because I don't think that applies to the NFL. Why are the NFL still doing so well if it's all about cord cutters, you know? Like, I don't think that quite squares up. But, you know, I do think that's affecting TV ratings across the board.
You know why? Because the NFL, in my opinion, it's still kind of like a family function type thing. I know families aren't really sitting down and having dinner and stuff together, but on a Sunday, typically families are home and you might put it on.
Families are home every day.
right. But you might put it on where everyone can look and everyone can watch. I know in my household, NBA, it was like 4 to 5, not even televisions, but devices that were watching. And I have YouTube. Let me pause because I don't know if I can mention them. I have a streaming service where I always ask that question, like, wow, I wonder if they're counting.
You're allowed to say what you have, I think, right?
I can.
YouTube TV?
Yeah, YouTube TV.
I have that too.
But I found in there that there is this thing where they do, you can allow for them to, you know, use your viewership as a way of ratings, of catching ratings. So
really?
I didn't know that. If you looked, I'm one of those kind of guys, I kind of go deep into those things. But I did check it out. But I think the call
they use mine, it's like going to be old reruns of Always Sunny coming in first at like 2 a.m.
going
to be crushing those Nielsen ratings.
But yeah, I think...
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Mike Palmer, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all 6 world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at Boston Scores.org/Noah.